Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Ezra, chapter 9,
and notice he lay before us the name of these countries. The Canaanites, Knanim, Hivites, Chivim, the Perizzites, Perazim, the Jebusites, Yevusim, the Ammonites, the Ammonim, the Moabites, the Moavim, the Egyptian, Mitzriim, and the Amorites, the Amorim. Those are the same list that were given in Exodus chapter 34 and the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 7. They began to mingle with the nations of the world, and they have happened to do the things that they do. It's one thing for us to fall. It's another thing for us to carry on this kind of a lifestyle. It's one thing for a believer to stumble and to fall, to confess it and to repent it before the Lord and to get up and to continue to follow the Lord. It's another thing to begin to live this kind of lifestyle and to do just what these nations have done. It grieved the heart of God. It grieved the heart of Ezra, the servant of the Lord. What an example we see here in Ezra. So notice that. While in verse 1, Israel did not separate themselves from the nations of the world, the emphasis in verse 2 is that they not only didn't separate, they did exactly the opposite in verse 2. They mingle themselves with the nations of the world. In other words, you could see no difference now between the Israeli individual, which was chosen by God, and the nations of the world, the nations around them, which worshipped idols and other gods. And so we read, listen what happened. Look what God is pointing out here in the second verse. It says here, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons. And notice it says, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. So while the emphasis in verse 1 is they did not separate, the emphasis in verse 2 is they actually have mingled themselves with the nations. They took their daughters for their sons, they gave their sons for their daughters, and instead of drawing others to believe in the God of Israel, they ended up to be drawn away from the God of Israel to worship the idols of the nations of the world. And you notice this expression here, the holy seed. In Hebrew, it's Zera HaKodesh, that is the holy seed, the one that is set apart. You see, Israel is always called in Scripture a holy nation. The word holy means set apart, mekudash, set apart to the Lord. Israel as a nation were called to be a set apart nation for the Lord himself. You can read it in Exodus 19 verse 6. Ye are a holy nation. In chapter 22 verse 31 of Exodus as well. You should be a holy people unto me. So now the seed of holiness end up to be mingling with the nations of the world. And instead of drawing them unto the God of Israel, they end up to be drawn away from the God of Israel and they begin to worship their gods. You and I sometimes think, you know what? I'm strong enough. I can do it on my own. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to lead somebody else to the Lord. And we end up kind of beginning to mix ourselves with others, to go to places we shouldn't go, to practice things we shouldn't practice. And it does not take too long, and we find ourselves in no time, no longer in the same spiritual condition we used to be when we first began with the Lord. You agree with me, right? You know very well how it can happen unto us as believers in Yeshua the Messiah. Sometimes you hear statements such as this, "Oh no, don't worry, the Lord will protect me and I'm able to take care of myself." And we end up exposing ourselves to that which we shouldn't be exposing ourselves. And it doesn't take too long and we end up to be drawn away from the things of the Lord. Beloved brothers and sisters, when God gave the warning to Israel, He knew why. When God gave the warning to the body of Mashiach, the believers in Yeshua the Messiah, any one of us who is parents or who had been child of a parent who gave us warning know very well that listening to the word of God will preserve us from such a mess that we can fall into if we're not listening to the word of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, Shaul, in chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, Shaul Paul, writing to the Roman believers, he called them achim, brethren, because they were his achim, his brothers and sisters in Yeshua the Messiah. He said to them, "Brethren, listen, I appeal to you on the basis of the mercies of God. Present yourself. Yield your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual or intelligent service. Don't be conformed to this world." Why? Because if we are going to be conformed like the world will swallow us. We are not match against the world. We are not match against Satan. We are not match against the old nature, the flesh that we have. Satan beguiling, the world attracting, the flesh is allowing in its own sin nature. And he says, look, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind, be occupied with the person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And we become more and more like Yeshua the Messiah as we are occupied with Him. Israel, our people of old, become more and more like the God of our fathers who have brought our people of old out of the land of Egypt. See, the application is so real here to believers today that you will prove what is good, what is acceptable, what is the perfect will of God. Every time a believer makes a decision for the Lord, he or she are only going to be blessed by God. When we don't listen to the word of God, we're going to preserve so much headaches, so many troubles that come our way. God's word were given to us to protect us, to preserve us. You know, sometimes people look at believers who go to church meeting and they say, what's the use? Why should I go? I want to have good time. I want to have my own thing. You know, I want to be free. I want to do what I want. And they find themselves very quickly drawn away from the Lord. And then soon enough, things are going from bad to worse. And at the end, they realize, "Oh Lord, I played the fool. I should have listened to your word." And you know, when we sin, we know very well that had we listened to the word of God, we would have saved ourselves so much headaches and so many troubles that come our own way. And that's what God said to Israel, and that's what exactly the Lord is saying to the believers today in this present day. Look what Peter now, writing to Jewish believers of first century, Messianic Jews, Hebrew Christians, Jewish believers in Yeshua the Messiah, and he's writing to you and I today, and he said to them in chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, disobedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust of your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, be ye also holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In other words, be set apart for God, because God is set apart from all that which is sinful here in this world. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12. Again, beloved brothers, look how Peter now is writing like Paul. Peter says, dearly beloved, I love you, my brothers and sisters. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Look at one more verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. And again Peter is saying, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, of the nation, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, and so on. Again and again, Peter's saying, Paul is saying, listen, brethren, because you belong to the Lord, there ought to be a change in your life. Watch it. And so here you can see a person can go back into a place that is the right place, and yet he or she can be their hearts away from the Lord. And sometimes we have to be careful that we are not judging others carelessly, because we know very well our very own hearts, how we can be when we are not guarded, where we are not having the help of the Lord in our life. And so here is the report that Ezra is receiving. He must have been saddened to hear this report. He was probably saying to himself, wow, all this journey that I took to meet my brethren in Jerusalem, to exalt God right in a place where God had set his name. And look at the condition. And you notice, brothers and sisters, the leaders in all this were not even the people. Because according to verse 2, it says here at the end, the princes, the rulers, and the heads of the people were the ones that were chief in this activity. Not only the people, but the leaders. So really, there was no difference between the Jewish person who is called to be separated unto God and the nations of the world. They look alike. And you know, sometimes we ask the question about a person and we say, could he or she be a Christian, a believer? Look at the way we live. People ask about us, are you a believer? Well, if you are a believer, what in the world are you doing? Sometimes we attend places we shouldn't go, and then we tell somebody about Jesus. I don't know if you heard this story. One girl wanted to win a guy to be her boyfriend or her husband in the future. So she went to the place where she shouldn't have been, the disco, the dancing and drinking and swearing and cursing. And she was hoping to win that person for her. And as they were dancing, she was sharing with him the person of Jesus Christ. And he said to her, well, are you a believer? What are you doing here? That's not a place for you to be. And sometimes we have to realize that we cannot win somebody to the Lord in these locations. We have to share with them the gospel and to draw them to the place where the word of God is being presented and the Lord Yeshua is being exalted. You will take a rotten apple and you will put it inside a bushel. This rotten apple will not become a good apple. The opposite will happen. If a good apple you put in a rotten bushel, all the rotten bushels will make that one apple become just as rotten as the rest of them. And the lesson is, beloved brothers and sisters, Ezra have heard a sad, sad report, and he have been extremely grieved because of that. So what does he do? In verses 3, 4, and 5, look at the heart condition of Ezra. First of all, in verse 3, his personal affliction. Ezra took it to heart. It says in verse 3, and we have 3 points. The first thing, he rent his garment. The second thing, he plucked off the hair from his head and from his beard. And the third thing he did, he sat down astonished. The first thing he did is applying this to himself. And it's so nice to see, beloved brothers and sisters, the first thing he does, he rip his mantle. He rip his clothes. This was really a sign of mourning. He was amazed when he have arrived to the city of Jerusalem. He saw this condition among the people of Israel. The first thing he does, he ripped his clothes. If you look at biblical history, Jacob ripped his clothes when he found out about his son Joseph. And later on, you can find it throughout the history of our people Israel, the ripping of the clothes. It speaks of mourning. When a person dies and you go to a funeral service, the family members, even today, the rabbis would come and he will cut their part of their shirt just to give a symbolic expression of ripping your mantle, cutting up your clothes as a sign of mourning. I still remember when my father and my mother died a few years ago. First my father and then my mother a few years later, when I went to the funeral service in Yerushalayim, the rabbi came to me with the scissors, to my brother, to my sister, to me, and he cut the shirt. It symbolizes exactly what Ezra have done. We rip the clothes. It speaks of mourning. It's a time of sadness. It is sad because when you lose a loved one, it is sad. But when you have the condition that existed among the people of Israel, Ezra immediately ripping his clothes as a sign of mourning. But not only this, beloved brothers and sisters, according to verse 3, he plucked off the hair of his head and of his beard. And this is also, it is another sign, and it's a sign of shame. In the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, the people of Israel, the long beard. It speaks about age and maturity and growth. It comes from the Hebrew word zakan, and zaken is the same thing. Old man and a beard is the same word, but it speaks of wisdom and maturity and growth and age, that you are responsible. And he's plucking up the hair from his beard and from his head. And he speaks of shame. The prophet Isaiah spoke about the Messiah. They pluck off the hair from his cheeks. Speaks about the suffering and the shame that he had experienced at his first coming. Ezra was not only mourning about the condition of his people, but he was ashamed. Sometimes, unfortunately, we are not ashamed. I was thinking, there is a song that had been sung many years ago by Jews for Jesus team. And you know what they were singing? It takes from Romans 1:16, and it's still sung today. I'm ashamed of my sins and the sins of my people. But one thing, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because through the gospel, my sins have been forgiven. Through the gospel, I have a message that proclaims that you, Gideon, and you, whoever your name is, your sins can be forgiven because the message of the gospel has been given to us and the work had been accomplished through our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. He was ashamed before the Lord. And it is amazing to see the attitude of this man. Ezra was ashamed to stand before the Lord. But thirdly, notice what he did here in verse 3. It says that he sat down astonished. The Hebrew word for astonished is meshomem. I'm astonished. He was astonished. He was amazed. He was amazed. He sat quietly. He didn't proclaim this against everybody and criticize anybody. He sat as before the Lord quietly and said, "Oh God, not only that I'm mourning about my people and I'm ashamed, God, I'm also astonished. How is it possible?" Well, it is possible if we know our own hearts. We don't look at them, at the nation, we know our own hearts. It is possible. We are human beings. We are a failing people. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible tells us in the prophet Jeremiah, "The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it?" And the Lord says, I know it. I know the thoughts. I try the rain. I know your hearts. And so Ezra was so astonished. He was sitting down there and he was mourning. He was ashamed and he was astonished because of the condition of the people of God whom he loved so much. And so notice, beloved brothers and sisters, it says that not only him, because in verse 4 now, others join him. And then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the word of the God of Israel. That word for trembled, it comes from the word chared or charedi. You know, if you know the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people today, they are called charedim. People who are trembling at the word of God. And he says, all those that tremble at the word of the God of Israel, gather to me. In other words, they had a prayer meeting where all those who realize, oh Lord, we are failing people, they gather together for a time to sit before the God of Israel in prayer and confession of sins. And so we read here in verses 4b and verse 5, Ezra's sitting and rising at the evening sacrifice. You see, after they gathered around him at that particular day, it said, because of the transgression of those that have been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness. I want to highlight here, this is so precious. There is no coincidence why Ezra is mentioning the expression here, the evening sacrifice. In Hebrew it is called Beminchat Ha'erev. Why is it that he sat down? The whole day he sat down and he was mourning, he was ashamed, he was astonished with the others with him, and they sat down all this time until the evening sacrifice came. And all of a sudden at the evening sacrifice, he rises up. And he began to do something, he began to pray. Now this is a wonderful lesson to learn. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 29, verses 38 to 42. Verse 38 says this, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first day, day by day, continually. The one lamb you shall offer it in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer it at even. Then verse 42, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation. When God gave instruction to our forefathers, the people of Israel, he told them, every day I want you to have a lamb to be offered in the morning and a lamb to be offered in the evening, and that's going to be continuous sacrifice every day in the history of the people of Israel. As long that the tabernacle stood, as long that the temple stood, there was morning and evening. Evening and morning, sacrifices are laid upon the altar. And so, yom yom, tamid, every day, always, continually, there were sacrifices offered. But it is so interesting, beloved brothers and sisters, that Ezra sat down astonished until the evening sacrifice. And the evening sacrifice is typifying the future arriving of Israel's promised Mashiach. The evening sacrifice is a picture of the time when the Messiah will come in the fullness of time. And he's going to offer himself as a sacrifice on the tree in order to redeem people for himself. So Ezra is sitting astonished, but he's rising up at the time of the evening sacrifice. Why? Because he understood that at the evening sacrifice, blood was going to be shed. An innocent animal is going to be killed. And God is going to accept the people of Israel before himself and forgive their sins on the basis of the blood of the lamb that is going to be killed according to Exodus chapter 29. And so Ezra understood. He rise up now in verse 5, and at the evening sacrifice, he arose for my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees, and I spread out my hands before the Lord my God. In other words, he understood now that if God is going to forgive his people Israel, it must be done on the basis of the shed blood of the lamb, the evening sacrifice. Now that's so beautiful because it's so clearly pointing to the Messiah, to Yeshua's death. Because when Yeshua came in the fullness of time, he fulfilled to the letter everything that God had given our forefathers, the Jewish people. That's why we believe on him. That's why we believe on him, because he fulfilled totally what God had expected from the nation of Israel. Turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 and verse 46. It says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." The ninth hour was the time of the evening sacrifice. "And about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried with a loud voice, and he said, 'Eli, Eli, lama shvaktani?' That is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Turn to Mark chapter 15, please, and verse 34. There we read, "And when the ninth hour, Jesus, Yeshua, cried with a loud voice, and he said, 'Elohi, Elohi, lama shvaktani,' which is being interpreted, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" You can see that it was at the ninth hour, at the evening sacrifice, and Yeshua cried, "Why did you forsake me?" And we know the answer, that Yeshua had to be forsaken so we sinners, Jewish and non-Jewish, will receive forgiveness of sins. He must be forsaken, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God. There is no other way. And I can read in Luke 23, verse 44 to 46, and in John 19, and verse 28, 29, and 30, and at verse 30 of John 19, Yeshua said, "It is finished."
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.